hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
That's right here on this Monday morning, Taz and the Moose with you as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way, Andrew Bogish with your updates. And Taz, yesterday, you got an outspoken Joe Flacco of the Denver Broncos, amazingly enough. Let's hear what Joe had to say after what was a tough loss in Indy. Take a listen.
I just look at it like we're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with 1:40 left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. And once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd and 5 at the end of the game. Who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. So you're just putting your defense in these bad situations. And I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
And Joe Flacco, not playing around.
And no, not playing around at all. And here he is. So 3rd and 5 at the Indy 43, Taz. At the 2-minute warning, Philip Lindsay, a run up the middle for no gain. Timeout number 3 by Indianapolis, a punt. The Colts get the ball back with no timeouts, but deep in their own end at their own 11-yard line. But they eventually go on for the field game-winning field goal drive with about 30 seconds left in regulation. So Flacco calling out his coaches, and I don't blame Flacco. I mean, I guess here's the one thing. I can understand the frustration. Should that be something that you voice to the media for us to be talking about here on national radio on a Monday morning? Right. That would be the one thing.
You're 1,000% correct. I mean, listen, he's earned a right. He's a 12-year veteran in the league. He's earned a right to chirp and talk and be pissed. He has earned that right. But to the point you just made, to do it publicly like that and to really cut your coach's legs off like that, and a guy like Fangio who's been around a long time, that's a little tough. I mean, maybe there's some stuff going on behind the scenes with these guys. Who knows? And he don't care. Joe Flacco, and he's just like, whatever, you know, and he just buried them. I mean, he's 34, 35 years old. He's a grown-ass man. He's been playing a long time, and he's got a lot of success. So he might be thinking, this is my last run. I don't care. Whatever. I don't like that what they did here, and it's not right, and maybe that's why he did that. But I agree with you. I don't think it should have been done publicly like that. No.
No, and Flacco, and Fangio's going to look at it and say, I mean, Joe Flacco right now is completing 65% of his passes, right? He's got a tad over 1,800 passing yards. He's got 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and we're approaching week 9 of the NFL. Yeah. And this is what Joe Flacco's record is. This is what he's got 6 touchdown passes in 8 games.
That's not good.
No, and listen, the offensive line has not been particularly good, so Vic Fangio might say to himself, go for it. I mean, yeah, I would go for it if I had an offense or a quarterback that I completely trusted that could maybe go out and make the necessary throw, Taz. Mm. And, you know, Flacco hasn't played particularly well. It hasn't been all his fault. The offensive line has not been good. I mean, they're not a good offense. They've got pieces you like. You like Lindsay's a good player. Cortland Sutton is a nice young wide receiver that I think has got a chance to be a star in this league. You know, Noah Fant, if he can, you know, stay on the field and be healthy, improve his blocking, I think is a young tight end to be excited about. But aside from that, Taz, there's not a lot out there in Denver. And no. I guess if you are the leader of the team, is that the right way to show leadership? Or is it a case of, I see the writing on the wall. This was the only team that was willing to give me basically an opportunity. My days in the NFL are probably numbered as a relevant quarterback. I know they're going to go with a young quarterback next year. So, I mean, I'm going to vent my frustration. And if it ends up costing me, you know, my job, or if it ends up costing me my starting job, so be it.
Yeah, I think it's option two, what you just said there. I think that's Flacco's mindset. He's probably like, I would assume, listen, if this guy Flacco is saying this publicly to the media, he didn't mince words either. If he's saying this publicly, Lord knows what he said behind the scenes to the coaches. He had, you know what I mean? Right or wrong.
No, I would imagine.
He had to go off like on
I would
OC.
Hope he did, right?
Right. He probably went off, you know, on the head coach and on the offensive coordinator and saying, what are we doing? You know, but you make even a better point. Like, well, why should Fangio believe in him? You know, with the stats and with the offense that he has and the way he's played, and he hasn't played great, Joe Flacco. I mean, I said it when he went to Denver. This is not going to go well. You were giving him the benefit of doubt. You thought he might do well.
I was dead wrong.
Yeah, but, you know, right? So the thing is, like, you know, I mean, it just seems horrible out there for these guys. And if they have a really loyal fan base, too, which stinks. I got to talk to you. You know Anthony. You remember Anthony?
Yes.
Big Bronco fan.
Oh, I know. He'd be walking around with his Bronco jerseys on game days when I'd see him on Sundays.
But he left the company, right? No, he works. No, he's doing the video for Francesa.
Correct. Yeah. He's
big Bronco fan.
Right. He did leave the company, and now he's back with the company.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a divorce, and then there was a rectifying.
Yeah, they kissed and made up. But anyway... Anthony. You guys know Anthony?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know
the
Anthony.
Best. You guys don't hate Anthony, too, right?
No.
No, those two guys behind the glass hate everybody. That's the thing.
It's not true. Don't say that.
Except him.
Mike's like, please, come on.
Mike's like, I'm trying to make friends with people.
It's a tenuous time.
I'm a politician. Love y'all.
Whenever the Broncos go down a swing and they lose, I think of Anthony because I know he's the only diehard Bronco fan I know. You know what I mean? I personally know. So... I don't have a big fan base, though. But, yeah, no, it's a tough thing. I mean, if you're Flacco, it's like you can't say this publicly. But I think you're right. He probably think, look, this is one and done Jones. I'm out of here anyway. It don't matter. I'm Dunsky. You know, what are they going to do right now? They're going to bench him, put Brandon Allen in? They're not going to do that. That's what's behind him on a depth chart. Brandon Allen.
Yeah, no, they're not going to
I don't even know
that.
What that is.
No, I know. Well, they're not going to do that. I agree with you. But, I mean, I think Flacco understands his days, and he's right. We're not a good team. I mean, now they're a 2-6 football team. They were 2-5. He basically is like, what do we have to lose? Why run the ball on 3rd and 5 when they know you're going to run the ball on 3rd and 5 and try and use that timeout? Why not go for it at that stage, try and pass for a first down and win the football game? And, you know, he's not wrong. I mean, and a defense without Bradley Chubb, why put it in the defense's hands when you have a chance as an offense to end the game?
Right,
That's really the mentality of Joe Flacco. Let's be more aggressive. Let's end the game here. We run one efficient play for a 6-yard game. We are ending this game. The game will be over. It will be decided.
Right.
Take everything else out of the equation. Let's end the game right here. And that's where you see the frustration from Flacco.
Yeah.
Taz, let me ask you, right now, Saints, Niners.
Wow.
Best team. NFC, if you were to pick one right now, New Orleans Saints, 49ers. Saints yesterday, Breeze back, throws for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and they take care of business against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
My Cowboys not in equation no more.
No, I wouldn't throw – and that would be disrespectful to the 49ers and Saints. The 49 – now people might say, how do you not throw the Packers into the mix? I don't know if I'd throw the Packers in terms of overall strength as compared to those two teams. I think – would you agree those two teams have been more impressive than the Packers?
The 49ers and the Saints?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. If I had to pick one, just quick answer, I would probably lean towards the Saints. Who's the better team? Just because they, you know, you take a guy who's a first ballot Hall of Famer in Drew Brees, he goes down hurt, and they plug and play Teddy Bridgewater in there, and just how many win? Five in a row. And now here comes Drew Brees, comes back in against the Cardinals, doesn't miss a beat, and they win the game 31-9 over the Cardinals. Obviously at home, but to me, I've gained a whole new respect. I've always knew Sean Payton was an awesome coach, okay, head coach for a lot of years. This year, it's like really jumps out to me, and I said it last week here on this show, how tough they are to prepare for, because you don't know what they're going to do, especially when Bridgewater was in there. Their offensive scheme seemed to change week to week to week. Now Breeze is back and they just keep winning. I mean, the long answer for me, Saints. How about you?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Now, yesterday was kind of a not really a statement victory for New Orleans. You want to see how Breeze threw the football, and he threw the ball well, right? And we all thought they were going to beat Arizona. They were, you know, a double-digit favorite. I think at one point in time, it probably creeped up to, you know, 11 or 12 points. I mean, right. So they were a heavy favorite. They were home against Arizona, and the Saints did what you expect them to do. I'll tell you, though, I agree with you. I think for everything you said, Taz, I think you said it very well. I take the Saints. You know, with dealing with the Bridgewater stepping in, the coaching job, the fact of all three phases, Dennis Allen, the defense we talked about a little bit on Friday well, has done a remarkable job. I'll tell you, though, the 49ers have had two statement victories this year. You know, they went on the road in Los Angeles against the Rams where everyone doubted them, and they embarrassed the Rams and embarrassed Jared Goff to where he had under 100 yards. I think he had 75, 78 yards passing the entire game, and their defensive line was completely and utterly dominant. And they went out yesterday against a Carolina team with Kyle Allen, a quarterback, who was undefeated as the Carolina Panthers starter, Taz, and they destroyed him.
I know.
Like, they didn't. It wasn't a comeback or a two. I mean,
they
that game.
Them around, dude.
That game was over in the second quarter.
Yeah.
They absolutely thoroughly embarrassed what is a good Carolina Panther team. That's a good Carolina team, and they thoroughly embarrassed them.
Couldn't do nothing. Panthers couldn't do nothing. They were just getting slapped around, and they got some strong wins. You mentioned that Rams victory. And right after the bye week, they beat the Browns. They beat up on the Browns when the Browns, everybody still was on that Brown bandwagon. They beat them 31-3. They beat them up. They beat the Steelers, you know, early in the year. I mean, so I'm just saying they have some strong wins here. So, and then you're waiting for the other shoe to drop with the 49ers, and it hasn't dropped, you know. Now maybe it's not going to drop next week against when they play the Cardinals.
Yep.
I want to see what happens on that Monday night game, middle of November, when they play the Seahawks.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be a game right there.
Yeah, that is going to be a game. That's going to be they're going to be home for that game. That's going to be a fun one. But, yeah, I mean, they get, you know, some challenges coming your way and the like. But that 49er team, that team travels. I mean, they'll play well. And they got better. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, showed his stead. His first game was a 49er. Garoppolo made sure to get him involved, and he had a couple touchdown receptions yesterday against Carolina, and they thoroughly embarrassed him to the point where I had the Red Zone channel on late in that game, right?
Yeah.
And they flipped by, I forget who was hosting it. Anyway, so they're like,
Oh, the guy with the ears.
No, it wasn't him. It was the other guy. There's two guys that hosted. Scott Hansen? Is it Scott Hansen? So Scott Hansen hosted and says, we're in the fourth quarter here. Panthers and 49ers. 49ers have all their backups in, as does Carolina. And as you see by this play, what we've learned is the 49er backups are better than the Carolina Panthers backups.
Well said. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, as you see a 49er running back just basically run through the offensive line and scamper for about a 45 or 50-yard touchdown run, I think it at that point in time made it like, you know, 51 or whatever it was.
Right.
51-13, the final. I guess I look at the 49ers. I think there are a lot of people that are going to look at it and say, well, let's see what they do against the Seahawks in a couple weeks, Taz. But we've watched them enough, and I think they deserve a lot of respect. I agree with you. I don't think they're on the New Orleans level, but I do think right now, I think they are the second-best team in the NFC.
Absolutely.
I think they are better than the Packers.
I agree. I mean, Garoppolo's just been efficient. He's been smart. He was 18-22 yesterday with 175 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. That kid Kittle is a really good player they have. You know, he had a good day yesterday.
He celebrates after every catch.
Yeah, it's a little too much. I got to tell you.
After every catch with the jump shot thing and the celebration. I love Kittle. He's a great player, but he celebrates after every single catch.
I'm done with all the celebrations. Well, everybody. I'm done with. I mean, I hope it's not a get off my lawn moment for me. But I got to tell you, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a teeny bit older. I'm tired. You know what I'm tired of? Probably when defense last week the Bills, the defense made a great play, and then they all run to the end zone and they do the post.
Yes,
I saw yesterday who was the Eagles did the same thing. It was probably against my Bills, and the same thing, the post. You know that whole team photo thing, that thing in the end zone. I stop throwing flags on these guys.
I agree. I've had
stop
enough
acting
of that.
Like idiots.
I'm with you.
Your job is to stop the friggin' team. Okay, you don't need to celebrate to that level every time. Stop. Just play.
Now, you know what the thing that's worse for me of that is this, is the defensive player that or the offensive player that celebrates, say, a reception or, say, a tackle for loss, and their team's down by, like, 20. 20 points.
Oh, and they're going crazy. Yeah.
And they're going crazy. They're doing like the heart thing, punch it through the heart, or the stomp, or whatever it might be. And they're like, dude, you're down like three scores.
It's
like,
funny.
You can't be celebrating there. Like, know your place.
That happened with the Browns and the Patriots. I was watching the game. It was a special team play. Some guy made a really good play. He was going crazy from the Browns. And by that point, the Patriots just had such control. And one of the guys from the special teams of the Patriots, you see him, like, just point to the scoreboard. He looks at the guy, he goes, look up there. And the guy just looked and walked away. He's looking at the scoreboard. Like, you can just see it was very funny. I can't remember who the guy's number was, but it was a special team guy, the Patriots. Look up there.
But I agree with you. I hate the team photo. The team photo for defensive players.
It's annoying.
It's annoying. It's terrible. It really is. The NFL's got to do away with that. Don't just
sick of it. Yeah, just, you know what? Imagine after every segment here we celebrate, that's a good segment. Or Mikey B lands a good guest, and he's in the newsroom doing a sack dance, and he's jumping on the tables. That would be awkward.
Oh, my God. Well, create some little headway here. Do you think
got that guest? Yes.
You think our program director would notice?
No. Nope. Would not.
But Mike, you should do that next time we have a great segment. Just run out to the newsroom, have Bilotti like film awesome. It, and you like celebrating like what a great segment that
you
was.
Hit
we hit all the points.
Yeah,
it was great conversation, great tease going into break.
Do the Hawk thing with the punch.
Yes. The LeBron stomp. You should do that.
You like that.
I would love to
you
see
like
that.
Yeah, you like that.
You like that.
Do the Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I could see Mikey B.
How about him
doing
walking
that.
Down the hallway to Chernoff's office and Bisegler going, you like that.
That would be just
you like
tremendous.
That.
And Al
what
Dukes.
You like that.
Al Dukes walks out to get some water and sees us get scared, runs back in the studio. That's what he would do. Oh, my God. He would just run back
that
in.
That would be so crazy.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
That would be tremendous.
Why are you doing the icky shuffle?
Who are you?
Icky shuffle.
Right. Bisegla is spiking the rundown.
Oh, yeah.
Like that! Bill Belichick makes a little history. We'll get into that next. Taz and Moose with you here on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
The best. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. This week's unexpected play. How about the unexpected play from the Minnesota Timberwolves? The Wolves improved to 3-0 with a 116-109 win versus the Miami Heat last night. Minnesota is in Philly Wednesday to play the 76ers. The NBA from Basketball Drives expert.
I have a reasoning for that.
Why is that?
Pull back.
Okay, let's pull it back.
Because I don't want to take away from the NFL talk, so that way it doesn't force you to get into a topic. You guys can make the decision, and we put in a Minnesota topic, which nobody really cares about.
Well thought out. Good thought process.
Sorry to all the T-Wolves fans out there.
Good job, Mike. Good job.
That's my honest answer.
By the way, Basketball Drives is on the come up, Moose. I don't know if you heard. It's doing really well.
I heard subscriptions are up, right?
Yeah, man. Right? Downloads are up?
Downloads are up. We're going to go to twice a week now, Tuesday and Thursday.
Wow. Yeah.
We have some sound effects, something like that. Da, da, da.
That'll work.
Content.
Wow.
With the NBA here, it helps a lot.
Well, you never know. Maybe in the coming years, you'll have a lot of time on your hands, and all of us will. And but anyway, so here's the thing.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. No, he's doing a good job. He's doing a good job with it. He's doing a good job, and he works hard at it. And someone told me Basketball Drives is about everything except basketball.
That's pretty much. That's why we're bringing in Thursday.
And there's that sound effect. That's probably about 45 seconds late, by the way. Pete, that's his way to get back at me. I'm sorry, Mike, you were saying?
That's why we're bringing in Thursdays. Let's get some of that NBA content in there.
Wow. Nice.
Wow. Well, it's funny because you, Mike, just like Andrew Bogus, who just walked in, both you guys would look good in bow ties. Now,
agreed.
I put this tweet out most. I'm sure you took a look at my Twitter. And I've been obsessed with this since last night, this conversation of bow tying. Okay? Because I feel I put a poll out there on my personal Twitter, @OfficialTaz. Yeah, close to 2,000 votes, by the way. Besides a tuxedo, does it bother you when dudes wear bow ties? Right now, the options are no, I love that look. And the other option is yes, silly look, annoying. It's 55% say yes, silly look, and 45% say no.
It's a strong 45%.
Yeah, so it's kind of a middle of the road. Jones, some people like, where are we? Let's go around a room on bow ties for men. And, you know, because I have feelings on who should be wearing bow ties.
Okay, so I'm not a huge bow tie guy.
Right.
I think obviously with a tuxedo, that works. Black tie affair, I get all that. Wearing it just out and about, no. I mean, I get why Rosenthal does it. That's kind of for charity as well. But on the baseball broadcast, I think it's more silly than I like the look.
Thank you.
That's the way I would go.
Andrew Bogus, Moose and I, before the break earlier, discussed that you would be perfect.
I heard.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, you call me a nerd.
Or geek.
Geek.
You said
geek.
You'd be working on Main Street in Disney World at playing the piano. Hello, my baby. Hello, my
oh, that would be great.
Those
dude.
Like things on my biceps, yeah, too, yeah, and the puppy great. Shirt. Okay.
That would be you. Right. I'm
be
telling
a dealer,
you.
Too, like that.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby.
How about Bogus doing that and Biseglia singing? And be like, hey,
that'd be great.
Didn't you do a podcast basketball drive?
Shut up. We don't mention that. I sing on it every week. That's true. You've been listening, Moose.
Bogus is playing an accordion.
Yeah.
And Mike's playing a trumpet. Oh, they would be great on Main Street with the bow ties.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Velotti.
Pete's playing a tuba.
As usual.
Why the tuba? I don't know. Just playing a tuba.
Be great. It would be great. What's your thoughts on bow ties?
I think you have to be built like Ken Rosenthal to wear a bow tie.
Go.
It's for little slim guys.
Small
you
people.
Got a gut. You can't. You got because you get that's so much shirt showing.
Good point.
Like a tie
cuts the shirt in half.
Well, right. It just it hides all of your blemishes. You got to have like a six pack. You got to be tiny to wear a bow tie.
It's a big tie you're talking about.
Yeah, you got a big. Yeah, he's got one of those ties like a clown would wear.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Giant polka dot.
It really like flares out.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a
really
giant.
Right.
So much
it's,
for the skinny
it's tie. It's tie slash napkin to wipe my face.
Guys got me wearing
as
a
I'm
blanket.
I'm eating my latest sausage and pepper sandwich.
I'm wearing a blanket. Yeah, no, but you make a good point, Andrew. I think if someone has a neck for like a men's dress shirt that's under a size 16, like when I get a shirt, I got to get a 20. Like my neck's a 20. But the body on a 20 is gigantic. So I got to get the shirt, tape it in. Because if you get a shirt that has a 20 neck, that's for a big bodied man,
a 5X man.
Yeah, so I got to get that front Slim Jones. So I, you know, it's tough for me to wear. You know, I'm
a
like
thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, things. So I can't wear a bow tie. It would be just not good.
So you don't like the look though. Do you like? I mean, if you had the body, do you like the look, Bogus?
No. I still like ties, like a full tie better.
You like a full tie,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, full tie. I like the bow tie, I guess, and a nice classic wedding. If you're in the wedding, it can look good with the other groomsmen. But for the most part, you're going out, rock the nice tie, be an adult.
Pete?
Full tie. I don't like the. I think the bow tie is overplayed a little bit. So I go full tie.
All right. I could picture you being a bow tie with a cummerbund type guy. Like just on a regular Saturday night, just going out to dinner.
I did it yesterday.
I had this list, Moose. I thought maybe you'd go through the list. I mean, I think if you read it, it'd be probably funny.
Well, let me go through. I just was reading up on something else.
On sports.
I'm sorry. Why don't you go through the list?
Pete's a big bolo tie guy.
Weston Jones.
Off, yeah,
he's just into Chargers.
I went off Twitter for a second.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you went through the list, it'd probably be more.
He's got to sign back in.
Succinct.
I do have to sign back
in. Oh, I didn't
in.
Know it was that big of a.
I'm sorry.
So what do you got, Moose?
Hold on.
We'll play. So, let the band play while
so
he looks.
So people understand. So 11 hours ago, I put this tweet out. And okay. About bow ties.
No reason for a grown man to wear a bow tie. Here we go.
So my Twitter, right. Here we go.
Yes, besides below. A male stripper?
So only a bow tie.
Employed by a carnival?
Me.
Employed by a circus? Kind of the same, right? Employed by a bazaar?
A bazaar. It's like a church fundraiser?
Yeah, it's a ring announcer in the 70s.
Yes, true.
Under the age of 10...
Okay.
Bob Backlund.
He always wore bow ties.
Employed as a waiter or maitre d' and a groomsman.
Do you agree with all of these?
I do. I would add boxing announcer.
Boxing announcer, too?
Because they all wear, didn't Lampley always wear a bow tie?
Yes.
On HBO.
I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a few, but yeah, boxing announcer.
But I think that's a good list. The first two, Carnival and
Circus.
That's
a joke, bro. That's a joke.
I know.
It's the same. The boom. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Some people don't even know what a bazaar is. A bazaar, I don't know. I mean, like.
The male stripper?
Yeah, male stripper, you know.
Yes.
Chippendale Jones.
Yes, just a bow tie and your abs.
And that's it. And they wear chaps.
Yes.
Shaking your booty. Yeah, so that whole thing. Yeah, so that's what I figured.
And how did you come to this rant on bow ties?
He was at a male strip club.
Well, no, to be honest with you.
Ken Rosenthal?
Yeah, because I was watching the World Series, and I see him wearing this bow tie, and I said, I understand the charity, and I'm not trying to be rude. You know, you just got to be careful that you could be disrespectful without even trying, and just so you try to be entertaining. But the thing is, I looked at him saying, and I saw a guy on one of the political, my wife had one of the political TV shows on, a guy had a bow tie on. And I saw this earlier yesterday, and I'm like, what the? You know, my thing is, when you wear a bow tie, you are craving attention. Okay, me, I like to be kind of, I like to blend into the scenes. I don't want to stand out. So I feel like if you wear a bow tie, you're attempting to stand out. And I think that's trying too hard. That's why, if unless you work at a carnival, maybe you're, you're 6 years old for your school photos. You know, then you should wear a bow tie.
Before Rosenthal did it, the first kind of guy that I remember bringing it kind of back into the fold in terms of popularity was Dahani Jones.
Jones. Yeah.
Remember Dahani Jones with the Giants? He played in Michigan.
You're right about that.
He started his own bow tie company.
I didn't know that part.
Yes, he had his own bow tie company. I remember when he was promoting it, he'd come in with like samples and everything like that.
Yeah.
Obviously for a smaller neck size, but yes.
That's interesting. He has a bigger neck, and you know, I'm surprised he's rocking a bow tie.
But he was able to pull it off,
Yeah, well, he's very fashionista, fashion.
Well, yes, he'd wear the tight shirt, tight suit, bow tie popping.
I should ask my kid. I didn't ask my son. He'd rip it because he's a fashion guy, you know.
I think your son would be into it.
Yeah, you think
in the right scenario.
The right scenario, maybe.
Not every day.
Not every time.
Waking up, wearing the bow tie, going to work.
What am I, Andrew Bogus?
We should do that one day.
Do I work in a bazaar or a carnival or a circus?
One day we should do
wear bow ties?
One day we should all show up wearing bow ties and dress shirts.
I could sit
in the newsroom and see if anybody says anything.
No, this show don't want to.
Just kind
attention.
Of like just as you know, as our own experiment. Like do you think Chernin, imagine we were just all sitting there, like on the one side, all in a row, just sitting there like right before the show, all wearing a shirt, a bow tie, and a sport jacket, and just staring at the clock. Would anyone say anything? Do you think our boss would be Moose?
No, he would say, Did I approve video? What do you got? What's going on? That's a guy who's got a closet full of bow ties. And suspenders.
He's a bow tie guy. Yeah, that's a bow tie body.
Do you think Boomer would say anything?
Yes.
He probably would.
Yeah, you think he would?
He would, yeah.
What's going on? Wise-ass remark be?
Yeah, it would be that. Like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing that?
All right.
Yeah.
It's a science experiment, Booms.
I might have to challenge into a fight here soon.
Yeah, it's
for the holidays.
Call.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I think we should do the bow tie experiment.
Yeah, let's do bow ties first.
I like it.
Bow ties,
and then Biseglia running down the hallway ranting like Kirk Cousins.
You like that?
Like that?
I'm all in for that. I'll do that right now.
Zach Martin's probably a big bow tie guy.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no, he seems like a guy that could work with you, Andrew, on Main Street in Orlando at Disney World.
Tua Tagovailoa. We have terrible chemistry, so probably not.
Dude, it would be money.
Live from Fordham University, women's basketball.
You and Zach are like freaking frack. You guys love
one hatred
another.
There. There's definitely hatred there. Yeah.
He doesn't know it, though.
Yeah, no, he knows.
Oh, he knows. What do you mean? He made fun of you the first chance he could get.
I will never forget when Moose and I brought your name up and how intense he got.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It was like, that guy. Like, look at Andrew. Wouldn't even look at me when I bring this up.
No.
So the guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
Seeing the Bills score on the screen from yesterday.
Oh, there goes the low-hanging fruit to the Bills score.
Oh,
come on, bro. That was not. Come on. You're better than that. You're better at singers than that, dude. Come on. You're much better than that. All right. Well, listen.
What's going on, the
whole thing with the bow ties in closing, like, as far as what you guys, you're suggesting, I don't know if you haven't noticed, I'm not really in a playful mood during the breaks or before the show. So I don't know if I want to walk around.
But that would be why it would be so great. It would be so different.
That's funny. So that's funny.
No, what?
No, it makes me, that's funny.
But that would add to it.
I'm not really in a jovial mood.
Is that a hee-haw funny or an angry funny?
No, no, it was.
He had a sense it was angry funny.
No, I wasn't angry funny. No, that's funny. It wasn't angry. No, it was like, it's just like, I'd love to play along.
Laugh?
I'd love to play along. It has nothing to do with you. I'd love to play along. Yeah. So I'm angry at some people.
I understand, yes.
You know that.
I know, yes.
You're angry. We're all angry.
Yes.
It's an angry show here. It doesn't say it. We don't say it on the air, but there's anger.
There is.
We should go to the update with Andrew.
We should.
Hey, right? Guys, great to see you. The Houston Astros didn't have to face Max Scherzer in Game 5 of the World Series last night. They took advantage.
Ross comes set now. Looks at the runner. Now delivers. And that ball's hit well. Left field, high and deep. That's got a chance. Gone! Carlos Correa with a two-run shot. Gives the Astros the 4-0 lead.
That's Steve Sparks on Astros Radio. Your Don Alvarez had already hit a two-run homer off Joe Ross. Houston led 4-0 at that point. They won 7-1 to sweep all three games in D.C. Now they can win their second world title in 3 years tomorrow night back in Houston. Nationals manager Dave Martinez, all cute and optimistic.
I told him, I said, I know we're going to go 1-0. I said, but we're going to play game 7. I believe that, so keep pushing.
Martinez's offense scored just 3 times over the weekend. Last night, they did not hit Garrett Cole. They did in game 1. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 9 Ks. Scherzer couldn't start because of a nerve issue in his neck prevented him from lifting his right arm. The Nats keeping the door open for him pitching game 7, if there is one. The Packers didn't have to face Patrick Mahomes last night at Arrowhead. They took advantage too, but it wasn't that easy. They blew a 14-0 lead, were tied in the fourth, but then won 31-24 on a 67-yard pass play between Aaron Rodgers and running back Aaron Jones. It is indeed a season-ending torn pec for Texans defensive end J.J. Watt. The Patriots are 8-0 after downing the Browns 27-13. The Niners 7-0 after routing the Panthers 51-13. And after a 27-20 home loss to the Seahawks, Falcons owner Arthur Blank said he'll evaluate everything during this bye week. That includes the status of head coach Dan Quinn.
I would hope so.
So now a funny story.
But he also clarified that, saying I have to take into account that the players love Quinn.
Yes. But
I mean, can we look at the record?
Exactly. It was, what, 20-0 and 24-0 at halftime yesterday? If you want to love them, start better.
I know it was Schaub at quarterback. Somebody, you want to hear a funny story? So I'm at the sports book yesterday, right? Guy comes up, fan, whatever. He's like, listen, I love a game today. I go, who do you love? He goes, I love the over in the Falcons and Seahawks. I go, really? I go, you know Schaub's at quarterback. He goes, who? I go, Matt Schaub's at quarterback. He goes, where's Ryan? I go, dude, he's hurt. And then he's like, oh. He goes, can I change my bet? I go, dude, I'm not sure about the rules here.
What, he was bookie?
No, I'm sitting there. No, right, exactly. I go, He goes, what do you think? I go, eh. I go, you got a shot? Game hasn't kicked off.
Yeah, Matt Schaub.
Matt Schaub at quarterback.
Schaub.
I told somebody, I go, how is he still in the league?
That was news to me. I didn't know that.
460 yards. Wow.
I go, how is he still? I go, he's still in the league. He's still making a good. What is Matt Schaub making this year? Does anybody know? I would have to imagine he's making what? 700,000, 800,000? I mean, is he making more than that?
He recently signed a 2-year, $3.78 million contract.
Oh, my God.
God bless him.
He's making almost $2 million a year.
Yeah. And wow. Matt Ryan played, what, 154 straight games?
Straight games!
Yeah. He's like, what is going on here?
Matt Schaub is the backup. Think about that. You don't play, run a little scout team, and you're making nearly $2 million a year.
Oh, man. That's probably the greatest gig in pro sports, the backup quarterback.
Especially
if you're backing up behind a guy like Breeze, who doesn't want you there. He wants like Brady. You know, like, yeah, go ahead, dude, you got it, Tommy. Go for it. I mean, you're making bank. Matt Schaub, look at him behind Matt Ryan. He's a 15, 16-year veteran, right? He's making $2 million a year, doing nothing.
And he's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made a ton of money.
I mean, he was a guy at one point.
He's just banking it right now. I know. Matt Schaub, at one point in time, people looked at him as the solution.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the question? I'm not really sure, but he was the solution.
So here's my funny story from before the show today. Taz, you missed this. I don't know where you were, but Moose goes...
I wasn't here.
Okay. Moose goes, how about the Nats collapse? Mikey B. thought he meant this.
Off for Crowder. Three for the win. It's good!
Bring it up!
It's good!
Three on the board! Jay Crowder wins it for the Grizzlies tonight.
Yeah, over the Nets, not the Nats. 134-133 in overtime.
And to create, give a little bit more color, Mikey goes, yeah, these Net games, I can't take them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat every night.
They've all been stressful.
I go the Nets.
The World
I'm not
Series?
Talking about game three of the regular season of the Brooklyn Nets.
Hey,
I'm talking about the Nats collapsing in the World Series.
Hey, as our caller said, ratings are down with the Nets. I don't know.
And I didn't pick up on it right away until Bogus goes, he meant the Nats.
Yeah, he's just, well, Mike's got the Nets on
not
his mind.
The Nets.
That was a rough loss.
Yeah, I walk in, I see Mike, I'm like, ugh. What a collapse.
He thinks that you get the Nets on your mind like he does.
24-7. Nonstop. Yeah, nonstop. Right.
That was a tough one.
I'm thinking about Kyrie Irving all the time.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Just 24-7.
I don't blame you. Guys want to open with Atkinson's decision to foul?
Yeah,
it was the right call. Game-winning
it
three.
Was the right call.
My
was
wife's
it?
Like, I'm tired of hearing about Kyrie Irving. Please stop talking about him every night.
Only 79 more games to go.
Saul, how about Irving the other night dropping in 50?
We get it, Moose.
We were watching together. First text I got from my wife this morning. That loss was brutal.
Oh, my God.
He's all in.
Daddy, what did Dinwiddie do last night?
The cat can't talk.
The cat can't talk.
You still got that cat?
Right. Still got that cat.
No.
Oh,
you still got that wife?
Wow.
What's the cat's name?
Well, why is this turning into bleep on Mike moment? But right. The cat's name is Leon, and he's doing what? He's doing great.
Leon goes to the sports page and paws at a picture of Kyrie Irving.
Daddy. That's Daddy.
Yeah,
he loves
it. Good guy.
I know, we haven't heard about Leon in a while. That's why I asked.
No, Leon's he's thriving. He's doing well. Everything's
thriving.
Good.
Thriving?
He's a cat.
Like he has a yeah. Fortune 500.
Well, you ask me how he's doing, I'm going to give you the answer. He's doing well. Yeah. He's been doing
his
401k
well. Is exploding.
He just bought a new Cadillac Eldorado. Yeah, the cat. A convertible. 76 Eldo.
He also has a podcast.
Speakerphone Jones sent me a tweet. It's never too early to bust my chops. But leave it to Mark Malusis to bring up a former Giant when talking about bow ties.
Yep.
SNY Jones. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, speakerphone. Bring it up. And to be honest with you, before I said it, I thought about myself the fact of, you know what? It's another former Giant.
That's it.
It's amazing how all these stories, a lot of them I bring up, they always come back to the Giants.
That one doesn't count. I mean, he did play for the Giants, but it's not like he's Jim Burt or Gary Reasons or Phil McConkey.
I get it. But it was a former Giant. Thank you, Speaker.
Well, the We Over Nation, they're going to catch. They wait every word. If you're in their crosshairs, I'm not saying you're in their crosshairs, but if you happen to be,
yes,
they're going to hand
they hammer away.
Yeah.
Hashtag Mark, SPJ. Mark. Yes. Hashtag we over. Hashtag welcome to Monday.
Mark.
Bogus, you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right.
Monday.
We'll come back. Talk about a little history for Bill Belichick. Why not, right? I mean, the head coach that has done it all, he gets it all. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is your boy, Oscar De La Hoya, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, doing more. Brought to you by the Home Depot. Visiting HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. How about Dwight Howard? Howard added 16 points, 10 boards, and 4 blocks off the bench, helping the Lakers defeat the Hornets 120-101 last night. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So Bill Belichick in the victory last night, kind of a ho-hum victory for, well, it ended early in the evening on the East Coast.
victory by the Patriots over the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield was his 300th total victory, regular season and playoffs combined. Third all-time now behind Don Shula at 347, George Halas at 324. When you look at Belichick, 9 conference titles are the most in the Super Bowl era. It's remarkable what he's been able to accomplish, the amount of Super Bowl victories he's had, Super Bowl appearances he's had. And, Taz, I don't, in my lifetime, however long, you know, God willing, hopefully his next 30, 40 years, whatever it might be, you know, anything like that, you know, we all live nice, long, healthy, happy lives.
How much longer are you going to live, you think?
I don't know, Taz.
You brought it up.
I'm open 40 years.
How many more summers do you have? You think you got 40 summers left?
I hope so, Taz.
Come on, bro. 40?
Taz, I'm not talking. Come on.
You don't want to talk about
this? Is getting depressing.
Yeah, come on. Supposed to be. Let's stop.
Redskins won't win a title.
No, I know I brought that up. And it was just kind of a pet. Go ahead.
No, I had something funny because a friend of mine, every time I don't see the guy a lot. He's a very funny guy. Whenever I see him, nothing to do with wrestling, guy lives in my neighborhood. And whenever you'd see him, you go, bro, how many more summers you got? That's like his inside. And you know, like if you know him, you know, and everybody just laughs because that's his always. How many
that's
more
a good line. Yeah.
It's a great line. So that's why I said
it. That's a good line. I like that line. But it's right. It's like enjoy the time when you got it, right? Exactly. I mean, that's basically it. Taz, I don't think I'll ever see a coach better.
I'm with you.
I think he's better than Shula.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously were not around when George Halas was doing his thing. But I don't think we'll ever see. I think what we're witnessing up there in New England when his career does end is the greatest coach that I've ever seen. I think the greatest coach the National Football League's ever seen.
No doubt. I would say any of the players that are currently on the Patriots roster, you know, right now, that were in that locker room after this victory, and you know, he was handed the game ball after for his 300th win. You're part of history. Like any of those players that are in a locker room, no matter if they're a star or if they're a third string guy, it doesn't matter. You're part of history. You're on that roster. You're in that locker room when this legendary figure, Bill Belichick's, handed that ball. That's a huge, huge thing, man. And that's something to hang on to if you're one of those young players. You know what I mean?
It certainly is. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have grown tired of the Patriots' success. And the constant drumbeat of the wins and wins and wins and Brady and Belichick, Belichick and Brady. But I think as a sports fan, for what we do, and even if you're not in the industry, just being a sports fan, you do have to appreciate what they're able to do.
Yeah.
And to be great, we all see the finished product on an NFL Sunday. You're not there all week long. You're not there during the off season. You're not there. We're not there kind of overlooking everything and all the hard work that goes into making winning look so easy. And that's the frustrating thing in a sport that's so difficult to find wins and have success consistently, Taz. They make winning look so damn easy.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. And he's done that. And Kraft, you know, Robert Kraft, you know, he had some things to say. I was reading this quote. I mean, I just have it right here. It says, 28 years later, he's coming back to the same location, winning his 300th game. Only the third man in history of 100 years of the NFL to do that. This is what Kraft said. I'm happy as well that 263 of those 300 have been coached at... Easy for me to say. 263 of those 300 has been as a coach of the New England Patriots. And he goes, I'm especially happy, listen to this, that 299 was against the New York Jets and 300 was against the Cleveland Browns. So that's Kraft taking a little shot there and there. So, but bottom line is Belichick is a legend. He's the best I've ever seen, best you've ever seen in all life. You're right, I didn't see Halas. But I couldn't tell you who I think is even near as good as this guy.
Yeah,
as a
the
coach.
Preparedness, the way that the game has changed and evolved, and I heard this story. Remember when Kraft brought Belichick in? Art Modell, who was obviously then the owner of the Browns, but then the Baltimore Ravens, right? Who's now since passed away a number of years ago, told Robert Kraft that'll be the worst hire you ever make.
Tremendous. Unbelievable.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Art Modell told Kraft, that'll be the worst hire you ever make. And Bill Belichick, all he's done up there in Foxborough is win.
Yeah. What are you going to say to that? I guess he was wrong, Mr. Modell.
No, he's wrong, but like historically wrong. Like not just to be wrong. I guess if you're going to be wrong, why not be historically wrong? He was he's probably the greatest hire of a head coach in NFL history.
Ever. Could be in sports history.
Yeah, might be. You're right about that. It's Taz and the Moose. We come back to 3 on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.